All right, this Shabbos is Parshas Chayisara, not Shabbos Mevarchim. The reason we're saying not is because normally it is. Normally, Chayisara is Shabbos Mevarchim Kislev. This year we have another week to be together with Mar Cheshvan as far as the Parsha is concerned, and Chayisara this week is Chof Beis Mar Cheshvan. So even though in many Sfarim they try to show the connection between Chayisara and Kislev, we're still in Mar Cheshvan, and we'll try to connect Mar Cheshvan to Chayisara. So what is that connection? Because Chayisara, even when it is Shabbos Mevarchim Kislev, is always read in Mar Cheshvan. This year especially, that told us is Shabbos Mevarchim Kislev. This parsha is, most of the parsha speaks about the shlichus of Eliezer in finding a shidduch for Yitzchak. But the beginning is about the Ma'oras HaMachpelah, the Avraham, buying the Ma'oras HaMachpelah for 400 shekel kesef, the death of Sarah, the burial of Sarah, the hesped of Sarah, and the end of the parasha is about Yishmael. The end of the parasha speaks to us about the children of Yishmael, all the 12 children from Nevoyos to Kedma. And the last pasuk, Al Penei Kol Echov Nafal, which as the Balaturim tells us, mentioned many times here, not necessarily here, but this year, that Al Penei Kol Echov Nafal is the Nefila of Yishmael, the downfall of Yishmael, as the Balaturim says. That's the connection between the end of this parasha and the beginning of the next. Al Penei Kol Echov Nafal Ve'ela told us Yitzchak that when Yishmael falls, Yitzchak will rise at the end of time, which we're anxiously awaiting that time to all be zocheh to see the Ma'apala of Yishmael and the rise of Am Yisrael. What is the connection between the death of Sarah, her burial, Maris HaMachpelah, the Shlichus of Eliezer to bring a mate to Yitzchak, and told us Yishmael at the end of the parasha, all in one parasha? We also find in this parasha a new name for Chevron, and that is Kiryas Arba. Till now we refer to it as either Elone Mamre, Chevron, and now Kiryas Arba. V'tomas Sora b'Kiryas Arba. Why is it first referred to as Kiryas Arba here? And what does it mean, the city of four? What does Kiryas Arba mean? And we know what Rashi tells us, that there were four giants that lived there, Achimon, Sheshai, Talmai, and their father, who incidentally his name was Arba. And then there's the other opinion of Rashi, that it's referring to the four zugos, the four pairs that were buried there, Adam and Chava, Avraham and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah, which is probably what Rashi's answering. Rashi's coming to answer why it's called Kiryas Arba over here, is because here we're talking about a burial, we're talking about Ma'aris HaMachpelah being bought for the burial of not only Sarah, but for later Avraham Avinu and for Yitzchak, Rivka, and Yaakov and Leah. So this explains to us why it's called Kiryas Arba. To connect it, though, to the time that we're in now, to Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, as we mentioned in the previous weeks, Mar Cheshvan is the month of the month in which the rebellion against Malchus Beis David took place, and therefore it's the month in which we are supposed to be, to rectify, we're supposed to restore Malchus Beis David. That's why the Haftorah this week begins with V'Hamelech David. V'Hamelech David Zokeh. And as we come to the end of Mar Cheshvan, the month in which Malchus Beis David was desecrated, it was in this month, as mentioned last week, we have to restore Malchus Beis David, bring it back, as we say it in davening many times, and in benching, and in Alamichya, constantly, Malchus Beis David, Meshichecha. That's what we have to do, is bring it back, and as the Alkut tells us, as mentioned last week, that the Chanukas Beis Hamikdash Hashlishi, which of course will take place when Malchus Beis David will be restored, will take place in this month. And we know that Chevron is the city of Malchus Beis David. That's where David ruled the first 7 years of his reign. Chevron. Before we get to that, the parasha begins with Vayihi Yuchaye Sora, Meyo Shana, Ve'estrim Shana, Ve'sheva Shanim, Shnei Chaye Sora. We know that Rashi tells us, Kulon Shavin Latoiva. All her years were equally good. There are many, many different interpretations of what this means. She was a tzaddik her entire life. Others say it means that she had a wonderful life. Her entire life was good. Never had any tzaras, never had any problems, which is difficult to understand because until the age of 90, she hadn't had a child. In fact, the Baal HaTurim tells us, Vayihiyu is Begematria 37, Vayihiyu Chaye Sara, that her real life was Vayihiyu, was 37 years from the age of 90 till she was 127, because that's when she had a child. And a woman who has no child is considered dead, Mishain Lo Banim. So her real life, Chaye Sara, was Vayihiyu, was during the last 37 years of her life. But then the Pasuk says, not to think that she only lived 37 years, Me'o Shana Ve'esrim Shana Ve'sheva Shanim, Shnei Chaye Sara, Kulan Shavim L'Toyv, as Rashi says. So how is that? How can that be if we're saying, as the Baal HaTurim says, that only the last 37 years of her life were her true life, when she was called Sara, till then she was Sarai? So how could we say Kulan Shavim L'Toyva? There's a sefer called Binyan David. And in this sefer, quoted by the Kleisenberger Rebbe in his sefer that just came out recently, the last year that he spoke, they put together all his Torahs, the last year that he spoke before he got sick. He quotes this sefer that says, Kiryas Arba, Kriyas Arba. There were four words that Sarah said, and that's what causes her death. And those four words, he says, are the words in Vayera where Sarah doubts that she could have children. Omnam Eile Va'ani Zakanti. Ha'af Omnam Eile Va'ani Zakanti. But he's not counting the word Ha'af. Can I really have a child? Va'ani Zakanti. Or Adoni Zokain. So, what does that mean exactly? So what are we saying? We're saying that Sarah, according to this Sefer Binyan David, that Sarah passes away because of that. It means that was her only chet. Her only chet was that she sort of doubted the fact that she could have a child, even though she does not know that it was a malach. So in her mind, it was impossible. She's 90 years old already. There's no reason for her to think that it can happen. But Hashem is upset. Hayipole me Hashem davar. And the Kleisenberger Rebbe in this Torah here discusses it, and he comes up with a big chiddush that Sarah wasn't really laughing. She was just extremely nespoil. She was with such glee, she was saying, wow, can it really be that I'm going to have a child? And that was considered a chet, because she should have known that Hashem can do anything. It shouldn't even be something that she should even be impressed with. Hashem could do it. The same Hashem who could make a 20-year-old, could make a 90-year-old have a child. He's Meirich on this, which is a little shver, because by Avraham Avinu we find also it says by him that he said he laughed, and that's not considered a chet at all. Because there the pshat is that he wasn't really laughing, but by Sarah, most Mepharshim learned that she was. However we learn pshat now, but that's what the Binyan David says, but Kiryas Arba was because of these four words. But Alpi pshat, as Rashi brings here, it was also because she heard the shocking news that Yitzchak had been slaughtered, or had almost been slaughtered. When the Malach told her, and many say it was the Satan, that your husband actually took your son, she didn't know where they went, to go to the Akedah, and before he had a chance to say that it didn't happen, Parcha Nishmasa, she died. So she died from that basura, which would sound like that she would have been upset to hear that Chas V'Shalom Avram would have slaughtered Yitzchak. But Farshim ask on that too. We're dealing with a Tzadekes, who was even greater than Avram Avinu in Nevius, as Rashi brings in last week's parasha. So why would it have caused her to die? On the contrary, she would have accepted it just like Avram would go to do it. There's another pshat in Kiryas Arba, and that's the Zohar Chodosh. The Zohar Chodosh says Kriyas Arba, also Kriyas Arba, but not the four words of Umnam Eile V'Ani Zakanti, but rather the four words of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That the last words on her lips was Shema Yisrael and Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and then she passes away. So clearly, according to the Zohar Chodosh, her death is not as a result of going into shock because of the Besura of the Akedah, or because she even said the words Umnam Eile V'Ani Zakanti. No, she died with Shema Yisrael on her lips. Mesiras Nefesh Mamash. So how do we reconcile these two interpretations? The Nesivas Shalom, the Slonima, writes that the reason why the Torah tells us Shnei Chaye Sara, that these were the years of the life of Sara, which is also redundant. It says, Vayihiyu Chaye Sara, Me'ashana, Ve'eshram, Shana, Ve'sheva, Shanam. Why say Shnei Chaye Sara? And why is there a small chaf in the word Viliv Kaisa that Avram came to eulogize Sarah and to cry for her? Says the Baal HaTurim, because he didn't cry that much. She was 127 years old, she wasn't a youngster, so he didn't cry that much. It wasn't like Chas V'Shalom, someone who passes away on untimely death. That's what the Baal HaTurim writes, which is difficult to understand in itself. But the Nesiv HaShalom says that this was an amazing test for Avraham Avinu. Because really, one would think the last test was the Akedah. That's the Asara Nesiyonis, that's it. Says the Nesiv HaShalom, and I saw it in other Svarim also, that this is really a continuation of the Akedah story. It's not over. When Avraham hears that Sarah died, so he could think to himself that it's his fault. He could blame himself for her untimely death. And she would have lived longer had she not heard this news. Look what I caused. Which is what the Satan does many times after a person does something good. He tries to make us feel sorry, to have remorse. And the Gemara tells us that if a person is sorry for something good that he did, he could, chas v'shalom, lose all the reward for it. Atoyei ala rishonos. So says the Nesiv HaShalom, this is pshat, v'hoser satan milfaneinu u'me'achareinu. There's the satan that comes to us before we do the mitzvah, there's the satan that comes to us after we do it. There's, of course, the Yetzirah before we do a mitzvah that tries to convince us not to do it. And there's the Yetzirah that comes to us after we do a mitzvah, either to try to make us feel good about ourselves and haughty, and wow, you saw what I just did, which we saw last week, that Avraham did not become like that after the Akedah. On the contrary, Vayoshev Avraham el Na'arav, he's one of the boys, he goes right back with them like as if nothing happened. But then there's also the Satan that comes to a person after he does a mitzvah to try to get him to feel sorry or to have charata, and therefore he loses the schar. And that's what the Satan was trying to do here. The Satan is the one who delivers the news to Sarah that the Akedah took place or is about to take place. Sarah dies. It seems like she died suddenly, and it could be it was a result of the Akedah. One might think that. And if Avraham would think that, he might possibly have charata for the whole Akedah, which would be our loss, because if he doesn't have schar for the Akedah, that's it. There's no schar. The Akedah, the great act of the Akedah, will no longer be the great schus that Klal Yisrael has till the end of time. Says the Pasuk, Shnei Chayei Sarah. No, she was supposed to die now. It wasn't because of the Akedah. She was only supposed to live 127 years. Hashem is the Mesabev Sibos. Hashem made that. Her death happened here. The Derech HaTev had happened because the Satan told her about the Akedah, but she wasn't supposed to live a minute more. And Avraham knew that, and Avraham did not let the Satan convince him otherwise. And that's why Veliv Kaisa, with a small chaf, he did not cry for her like as if it was an untimely death. When someone, chas v'shalom, passes away in such a way that one might think, really there's no such thing anyway, but one might think that it really wouldn't have happened. So of course the bechia is much more. The levkaisa with a small chaf, this was when she was supposed to pass away. So Avram is not affected whatsoever by this act, by this nesayin, and therefore the nesayin ha'akeda is completed over here, because it's not over until after like v'haseh satam l'foneinu me'achareinu, until after the mitzvah is done, the nesayin is passed, and the satan is trying to convince Avraham afterwards that he should have charata. He does not. So he passes this nesayin too. That's what the Nesiv HaShalom tells us. There's also another nesayin here, which he does not discuss, which Rashi tells us. And Rashi tells us in Va'era that when Hashem was upset with Moshe Rabbeinu for saying, Lama harayosa la'am hazeh, after he comes to Klal Yisrael, he comes to Paro to tell them to let the Jews go, things get worse. So Moshe complains. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which Rashi quotes here, the Gemara says, Chaval al da'avdin v'lo'i mishtakchen. Hashem says, I miss the Avos, because they never complain. You're complaining already. I sent you on one mission, you're complaining already. Of course, this is different, because this was for Klal Yisrael's benefit. But the fact is, Moshe Rabbeinu was complaining. So Rashi quotes here, this Medrash, this Gemara, in Va'era, and he says, when Avram wanted to bury Sarah, uchashabikesh Avram likbar Sarah, loy matza kever, he did not find a burial ground for her. Achakona bedomim, we had to spend a huge sum of money. Arba meos shekel kesef in those days was a lot of money. It wasn't $400. It was more than that. And why would this be a nisayon? Because Hashem promised Avram Eretz Yisrael. Hashem, the hakimoisi as berisi. How many times did Hashem tell Avraham that Eretz Yisrael is his and it belongs to him? And yet, when he comes to bury his wife, he has to spend this huge sum of money, and Avraham doesn't say a word. He's not meharer. Lo hirharu acharim midoisai, neither does Yitzchak, neither does Yaakov. But Avraham especially That's another nisayon that's going on here. In other words, there's something else. Even after the 10 nisayonis, we once spoke about it a different year. I'm not going to go into that now. But this was also a nisayon to see how Avraham was going to react. And as we mentioned then, that perhaps the Akedah is the nisayon of the Holocaust. Because we know whatever the Avos went through, later on, Klal Yisrael goes through. The last test of Avraham, the Akedah, was what happened 60, 70 years ago. And the Nisayon that we're going through now with Eretz Yisrael is this Nisayon in Parashas Chayasara. In fact, in a way, this is a greater Nisayon because the Akedah turns out to be nothing at the end of the day. It was just to bring Yitzchak to the top of the mountain, and that's it. It didn't cost Avraham anything, and nothing happened. And Yitzchak goes down the mountain and goes to Gan Eden for 2 years or wherever he goes, and everything's fine. Not only that, but after the Akedah, we find out that Rivka is born and Yitzchak could not have a child had he not gone to the Akedah and so on. This, however, Avram does spend Arba Meir Shekel Kesef. It's not like it's just a test to see if he's willing to do it and he won't ask any questions. No, he did. He really did. He really bought it. He never got the money back. So this is in some way, this is like a deeper nisayon. Avraham Avinu actually does have to spend the money, does have to go through the suffering, dealing with Ephron. Chazal tells us it wasn't just a conversation that they had for 5 minutes. Ephron was giving him a lot of trouble here. Ephron and Avraham were total opposites. Avraham is a person who says very little and does a lot. Ephron says a lot and does nothing. You're talking about two opposites here. So this is also a nisayon, and again, it's about Eretz Yisrael, it's about the Hevesi, it's about the whole, which is the nisayon of our time. Clearly, the nisayon of our time is Eretz Yisrael. Ot Mashiach is coming, and then we have Eretz Yisrael back, and it looked like, and yet we have all these nisayonis. What's going on? We're not allowed to build, or this is happening, and that is happening. Land is being transferred back to what's going on? Where are we holding? This is the nisayon of our time. And of course, we could have a lot of questions that we could ask, and we can question. We could be like Avraham Avinu and believe betmimus that it's all going to turn out exactly the way Chazal tells us and the way all the Nevi'im say it's going to, despite how, that right now the way it looks, we don't understand it. Like Avraham Avinu, he had to pay Arba Meir Shekel Kesef. This is the promise. He doesn't ask any questions. Eventually, everything will be understood. That's called tmimus. Tmimus in Emunah, tmimus in Betochen, and that's Avraham Avinu. The Medrash on this first pasuk says about Sarah, "Vayihi yuchaye Sarah hadohu dechsiv." A pasuk in Tehillim, "Yoideya Hashem yemei simimim v'nachalosam la'olam tihiya." And it says, "Kishem sheshnoiseha tamimim kachayeha tamimim." That Sarah lived a life of tmimus. Sarah also had a lot of questions. Sarah had a very difficult life, and she could have also complained and nagged Avraham, and like some women do. She could definitely have been a nagger and a complainer. Till 90, she doesn't have a child, and yet she sees Hagar marrying her husband, having a child right away. She certainly could have asked a lot of questions. She certainly could have been complaining. She never complained. And the chiddush here is that the years before she turned 90 was just like the years after she turned 90. Vayihi yuchaye Sarah. Means that she accepted everything that happened to her in life, she accepted, and she was quiet and she didn't complain. All b'tmimus. That's the connection here also to the life of Sarah and to this act that's going on here with the kvura of Avraham Avinu, this nisayon here where Avraham could have asked, could have questioned, and he doesn't. And he accepts it and he pays for the ma'ariz and achpela and is not mahara whatsoever. This concept is hinted at the end of the parasha. We find at the end of the parasha that there are the 12 names of the children of Yishmael. Three of them were named, this is a pasuk that has three words in it, one of the pasukim that some people say every Motzei Shabbos, it's a minute to say every Motzei Shabbos, the Ramban, they say, said it, to say every pasuk in Chumash that only has three words. It's supposed to be a skula. So one of them is here, Umishma V'duma Umasa. The Rambam wrote a letter to the Taimanim that was suffering from the Yishmaelim in his time, and he said to them, the way to combat Yishmael is Umishma V'duma Umasa. You hear, Mishma means to hear, you hear insults, Duma means to be quiet, Masa means to endure. If you hear insulting words and you want to attack back, or you hear things that bother you, or you don't understand, be quiet. Endure it. Don't say anything. Mishma v'duma umasa. Like David HaMelech, the Medrash brings down, David was zeicher to his melucha, because after Shimi ben Gera cursed them, and his officers wanted to kill Shimi, David says, don't do anything to him. Hashem Omar loy kalel. The David is quiet. David does not answer. V'lemekalalai nafshi sidoim, as we say every day in Shemayin Esher, because that's a tremendous madrega to be able to be silent in the face of insults and not to answer back. It's a big nesayah not to answer back. Well, not to question when one has questions. It's all the same idea. When a person has total emuna, when a person is a tumim and knows that everything is from Hashem, there's nothing to question. David understood that. I'm supposed to be called what Shimi called me, whatever it is. That's what Hashem wants. There's no reason for me to get angry at him. Whatever's supposed to happen to him will happen to him, but it's not going to happen through me. Umishma v'duma umas, and that leads to Malchus Beis David. David HaMelech is zeichet to his melucha because he was quiet, because he never answered back. And that, says the Rambam, is the way to combat Yishmael. If we are quiet, we don't answer back, whether it means amongst ourselves, the way we deal with each other, whether it's an insult from a spouse, whether it's an insult from a neighbor, whether it's an insult from a friend. The schus is tremendous, such an unbelievable schus. The Vilna Goin writes in a letter that a person who doesn't answer back, a person who's quiet, is zoiche to the Or HaGonus, she'ein afilu malach echad yochel leida mahu schor. Even a malach doesn't know what it is. The reward for keeping quiet when a person really has what to say or what to question. This idea of umishma v'duma umasa is Avraham buying the Maris HaMachpelah. He had a lot to say, he had a lot to ask. Umishma v'duma umas. He doesn't say anything. Sarah had a lot to question in her lifetime. She had a very difficult life. The last 37 was Chayei Sarah. What about before that? Shnei Chayei Sarah, kulan shavim l'toyva. She never asked anything, never complained. The same with Eliezer. Eliezer Eved Avraham. Eliezer, we know, wanted his daughter to marry Yitzchak. And this is not just that he wanted. Obviously, he had a daughter who was a tzaddikas gemura like he was. He was a tzaddik gomer. There's no question about it. Avram would not send his slave, grandson of Chum, to go pick a wife for his son. And she should be in his company for who knows how long. That can he trust his eved? Would the person trust his butler to go and find a wife for his child? He should be the shatchan. Obviously, as Chazal tell us, Zakan Beisoy HaMoishel B'chol HaShaloi, that he was Moishel B'Yitzroi. So he was a tzaddik nisgov, Eliezer. And so was his daughter. So the fact that he wanted his daughter to marry Yitzchak wasn't just that he wanted his daughter to marry Yitzchak. Obviously, there was a connection. There was a reason why he thought that his daughter could marry Yitzchak. But Avram's answer to him was just that you are an Orur, and Ein Orur, Medabek B'baruch. Nothing wrong with you. That's unfortunately, you're from a cursed seed. That's why I can't be Meshadach with you. Otherwise, I would be Meshadach with you, but I can't because you're Orur. Ein Orur Mistabek B'baruch. And Eliezer doesn't question. Eliezer doesn't complain. Eliezer does his shlichus with such ne'emonus. And there's plenty of ways that he could have, in a way, he could have worked it out that it shouldn't work out. Like most people, if they want something, they'll make sure, and they're sent to do the opposite. They'll try to work it out. Who's going to find out? Eliezer goes with such shlichus ne'emonis, he's quiet, he doesn't question, he doesn't complain. And he does what he's told to do. And not only that, because he does this, Chazal tells us he's no longer Orur. He went out of the klal of Orur to the klal of Baruch. Boy, Baruch Hashem, Lavan says to him. And in fact, then he could have said, you know something, now that I'm blessed, so let maybe drop the whole thing and let me go back and let my daughter marry Yitzchak. Now I'm not Orur anymore. But he continues with this shlichus till the very end. Mar Cheshvan is like the place of the Ma'oros HaMachpelah, Kiryas Arba. Before it was bought by Avraham Avinu, it was under the domain of Ephron. When it was under the domain of Ephron, it's like the Orla covering the Ois Bris Kodesh. The Orla has to be removed. There's an Ois Bris Kodesh under the Orla until the Orla conceals it. We don't see the Ois Bris Kodesh. This area was extremely holy. This area is the Pesach of Gan Eden, Ki Yodua, what it says in Yalkut Ruveini, based on the Zohar, that Ma'oros HaMachpelah is the Pesach of Gan Eden. All neshamas go there before they actually go to Gan Eden. That's the entrance to Gan Eden, one of the holiest places on earth. Chevron, Chibur Nun, where one connects to the Shar HaNun. But it's also called Kiryas Arba, and Kiryas Arba has two in two ways. There's two ways to understand it. It's the place where the four giants live. These four giants are the four Koiches HaTumah, Achimon, Sheshai, Talmai, and Arba. Those are connected, the four Klipois Kiyadua. The Sforum speak to us about the Gimel Klipois HaTmeyois and Klipas Noiga, or one might say in Bava Kama, instead of not talking Kabbalistic, talking in simple Mishnayos language, Arba Avos Nezikin, Arba Amarois Negoim, or the Arba Amalchios, four powers of Tumah that exist in the world were here in Chevron. And on the other hand, there's the four pairs who were buried here, Adam and Chava, Avraham and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah, to counter those four Koiches HaTumah. So, like we see today, Eretz Yisrael has the most Kedusha, but on the other hand, you could also find there the opposite. The holier a place is, Zele Umazeh, the same Kiryas Arba that refers to the four Zugois, refers to the four giants, the four Koiches HaTumah. The same Kiryas Arba that the Binyan David says was a result of Sarah saying, Umnam Eileid V'ani Zokanti, is Kiryas Arba, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Umnam Eileid V'ani Zokanti seems to be lack of Emunah. And for someone on the Madrega of Sarah, it was a slight pegam. But at the same time, the Zohar reveals to us that Sarah said, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, when she passed away, which is the epitome of Emunah. No question. She was Mesakein those four words. On the contrary, because she said those four words, and as a result of that she has to die, she was misaken it by saying Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad when she dies. That she's makabel everything but emuna, but tmimus, yedeya Hashem yemei simimim v'nachalosim lo'olam tihya. This is the makom of Malchus Beis David. Malchus Beis David starts here. There's only one other time in Chumash where a cave is mentioned. This is my own idea. I can't say for sure that this is true, but I know that it was repeated to an Adam Gadol who said that it might be true. The only other time in Chumash that the word Ma'ora is found, I'm not saying in Tanakh, now in Tanakh you have it a few times, but the only other time in Chumash is in the previous parasha where it says that Lot went with his two daughters and they settled in a cave. Vayeshev ba-Ma'ora, the Pasuk says. And the diuk that we had is, why does it say ba-Ma'ora? Ba always means in the cave. Who spoke about this cave before? What, this is not a known, this is a known cave? It should have said, Vayeshev b'me'ora. The word me'ora is not mentioned before in Chumash, so why the first time that it's mentioned does it say it with a beis ba, like a hey hayadiyah, beha me'ora, in the cave? What cave? There's no, we never learned about this cave before. And the idea that I had was that perhaps this is the Maris HaMachpelah. Vayeshev b'me'ora, where did Lot and his two daughters get together, which is where Malchus Beis David begins? In Ma'oras HaMachpelah. That was the Ma'ora, because that's the Ma'ora that the only other time in Chumash, if you ever find the word Ma'ora, is there, is by the Ma'oras HaMachpelah. Perhaps, it's a chiddush to say that, but perhaps, maybe it wasn't that far from where they were either. So perhaps that's where they went. Whether they knew they were going there, but that's where Hashem guided them. They went there because that's really the source of Malchus Beis David. That's where David rules for the first 7 years of his reign. Where Lot and his two daughters, his ancestors, were there for the first time. Where Hashem was damein yayin, as Rashi tells us in last week's parasha. There was wine there, misheshes and mebereshes, so that this can happen. And from there comes Moav and Rus and David and Melech HaMashiach. So it starts in Chevron. It starts in the Ma'orah, in the Ma'orah's HaMachpelah. Before Avraham gets there, though, it's concealed. It's Kiryas Arba. It's there are four giants. We only know about the four giants. It belongs to Ephron. But then after Avraham buys it, Vayokom Sdei Ephron, as Rashi says, Tekuma Hoysaloi, Sheyotza Miyad Hedyot Liad Melech. It's no longer in the hands of a Hedyot. It's now in the hands of the Melech. It's no longer in the domain of a Rasha. The Orla has been removed. The minhag is to throw the Orla in the Ofar. Ephron, Miloshan Ofer. The Orla is no longer there. It's no longer the domain of Ephron. It is now Ma'oras HaMachpelah. It is now the Pesach. Now we see it's the Pesach of Gan Eden. It's the Makom of Malchus Beis David. It's Chevron, Chibur Nun. Mar Cheshvan is the same. Mar Cheshvan really is where Malchus Beis David is rooted. Mar Cheshvan, Chaydash Mar Cheshvan is Begamatria Malchus Beis David. The fact that the Pegam against Malchus Beis David takes place in Mar Cheshvan tells us that that's where it's rooted. Ki Yodua, with Tisha B'Av, for example. Tisha B'Av is the day that we lost the Beis HaMikdash, but it's also the day that Mashiach was born. Shavasa Batamas, we lost the Luchas, we're really supposed to receive the Luchas on Shavasa Batamas. That's what it really was supposed to be. Tisha B'Av was really supposed to be a day of Geula. If the Meraglim did not come back with a negative report, when would Klal Yisrael have gone into Eretz Yisrael on Tisha B'Av? This was the next day. Instead of staying in the Midbar crying that night, they would have actually been going to Eretz Yisrael on Tisha B'Av. Mar Cheshvan really is the month of the formulation of Malchus Beis Dovid. That's why all the parashios that we read in Mar Cheshvan, Vayera, Lech Lecha, and here too, the Amar, all about the beginnings of Malchus Beis Dovid. Chevron, Kiryas Arba, Vahamelech Dovid. The last half Torah of Mar Cheshvan is Vahamelech Dovid, Malchus Beis Dovid. And Dovid becomes Melech because Umishma V'duma Umasa, because he's quiet, he doesn't answer back. And Avraham passes the test, and he doesn't complain, he doesn't talk, he doesn't ask any questions. And Eliezer doesn't ask any questions. And Sarah doesn't ask any questions. Yodeya Hashem Yimei Samim. The Arizal writes an amazing thing. The Arizal says that Eliezer was Nizgalgel in Kolev Ben Yefuna. Pella. That Eliezer comes back to the world and is reincarnated is the neshama of Kolev Ben Yefuna. And Kolev Ben Yefuna is given Chevron. That's his portion of land. Kolev goes to Chevron. Kolev does not join with the Meraglim. Total emuna, like Eliezer, has total emuna and does the shlichas without asking any questions. Eliezer later is Nisgalgal and Kolev. And there's really an amazing thing that we see from this, because Eliezer is a descendant of Chum. Chum, we know what Chum is. Chum, Shimesh Bateva. Chum is a poigem brisa. Chum is the epitome of Tumah. Chamimus Terah. Taivus Oilam Haz, as mentioned in the previous weeks, that's Mar Cheshvan is Yerach Bul. Ma bull. Bull means decomposition. Bull means rotting, spoilage, which is Taivas Olam Hazeh. That's what Mar Cheshvan is called, Yerach Bull, because Mar Cheshvan is the month in which we go down into this world. After Tishrei, after experiencing such spiritual heights in Yerach HaEsonim, we go down into Yerach Bull, as it's called in Tanakh, the month of rottage, spoilage, decomposition, the month of that we enter into a month in which we don't have any Yom Tov, we don't have the same Kedusha as we had in Tishrei, and it's easy for a person to fall into Taivas Elamaza, Mazel Akrov, the Mazel of the Scorpion, but yet the Akrov becomes Iker Bayis, as mentioned last week. The Akrev, if we take out the Ayin, we take out the Ra, it's Kuv Beis, Begamatria Amunah, if we take out the Reish, it's Akev. Kiryas Arba is the same letters as Yiras Akrov, or Reiyas Akrov. Fear of the Akrav, seeing the Akrav, Kiryas Arba. Mar Cheshvan is a month, we enter Mar Cheshvan with trepidation, we're afraid of Mar Cheshvan. We don't have the same feeling as we enter Tishrei, the excitement of Tishrei, the Kedusha of Tishrei is not there, but that's what we're here for. We're here for Mar Cheshvan. We're not here for Tishrei. We're here to deal with the Mar Cheshvan, we're here to deal with the Akrav, we're here to deal with Yerach Bul, and the goal is to be Mahapech to Chodesh Hashmini, because Mar Cheshvan is the eighth month, the month in which was created with the letter Nun, as mentioned in the previous weeks. Kiryas Arba Hi Chevroin, meaning Kiryas Arba, which is Oisius Yiras Akrav, or Reiyas Akrav, becomes Chevroin, Chibur Nun, becomes the month in which a person can be Zeichet to the greatest heights. The Ma'aras HaMachpelah, which is under the domain of Ephron, is now in Avraham's domain, by Yochum's day Ephron. Mar Cheshvan is turned around. Mar Cheshvan becomes the month of Chanukah's Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi. Eliezer Eved Avraham, a descendant of Chum, who's Shimesh B'teva, who as a result, the color of his skin changes, his pigment changes as a result of the chait that Shimesh B'teva, as Chazal tells us. We're not being racist here. This is a Chazal. That's what it says. Loka Be'oiroi. Kush was called Kush for that reason. Chom Loka Be'oiroi. Eved Avodim Yihi Ele'echav. The accursed person Eliezer was. Eliezer was the son of Nimrod. Nimrod is the greatest Moray, the greatest rebel of all time. Al-Kenye Omar K'Nimrod Giber Tzayi L'Fnei Hashem. The Torah says that if you want to describe any rebel, you compare him to Nimrod. So there's no one worse. And Eliezer is his son. But Eliezer, Eved Avram, Eliezer is Nisgalgal and Kolev Ben Yefuna. Eliezer goes out from the category of Oror and he becomes a Baruch. The same with Mar Cheshvan. Mar Cheshvan is going to be Mishapeich, is going to turn It's going to change from Yerach Bul Chaydash Mazel Akrav to Yerach Hashmini Himlech Ois Nun, the Chaydash of Binyan Beis, the Chaydash of Chanukah's Beis Hamikdash Hashlishi, which is the restoration of Malchus Beis David. Mashiach Ba Behesach Hada'as, as mentioned last week. The end of the parasha talks about what's going to happen in our time, hopefully soon, and that is the Mapola of Yishmael. The Mapola of Yishmael depends on our Amuna. Umishma Viduma Umasa depends on Amuna. The more Amuna one has, the more one is quiet and accepts everything but Tmimus. Why should I answer back? If this is what I'm supposed to, it's my fault. This is what Hashem wants. What am I questioning? I believe that everything's from Hashem, so what am I questioning for? I'm not saying that I believe that, but that's how we're supposed to believe. A Yid is supposed to say, why am I so upset? Why am I so angry? Because he said something. Hashem Amar Lo Kalel, David HaMelech said. And Avraham had that emuna, Sarah had that emuna, David had that emuna. And we're now in the parasha. We're living with these individuals. We're supposed to live with the parashas HaShavua. So this is the week that we experience the passing of Avraham, when we stand in the same room with the tzaddik who passes away, Ki Yadua, the Chassam Sofer, was very upset that he wasn't in the room when his Rebbe passed away, Reb Nosson Adler, and he said, had I been there, I could have been zeichet to pi shnayim, like Elisha was zeichet when he saw Eliyahu go up to Shamayim. When we learn the parasha that speaks about an event, it's like as if we're reliving that event. So the fact that this parasha speaks to us about the death of Avraham Avinu, the passing of Sarah, the passing of David, because the Haftarah is about David, so we have all three in one parasha. We're like, actually, it's like we're there in the same room with them as they're leaving us. We could be zoicha to pishnayim from Avraham Avinu, pishnayim from Sarah, pishnayim from Eliezer, pishnayim from David. The parasha ends off, al penei kol echov nofel, as the Baal HaTurim says, it's talking about the mapola of Yishmael, that yes, Yishmael will fall. And even though maybe today it's hard to understand, then when's that going to happen? Because every day we hear another story and another story. Al penei kol echov nofel, it will happen. When will it happen? In the dor acharoin. Al penei kol echov nofel is begamatria dor acharoin, our dor, the last generation. The last generation will experience the nefila of Yishmael, and of course, ve'ela told us Yitzchak, the rise of Yitzchak. All that depends on our avodah in those moments, which are all in these stories here in this parasha. Whether it's the story here of how Avraham deals with Ephron, how Avraham deals with the whole situation here with this Nesoyim. Whether it's the story of Eliezer Eved Avraham dealing with his shlichus, which incidentally, the shlichus of Eliezer Eved Avraham is actually the shlichus of every Yid. Every Yid comes down to this world to be Meshadech Yitzchak with Rivka. Because everything we do, we bring together Kutcha Berichu Shchinte, as the Svarim tell us. So the shlichus of Eliezer Eved Avraham Be'emes is the shlichus of every Yid. And despite all the difficulties, and Eliezer almost doesn't make it, and despite the difficulties with Besuel and with Love, and Eliezer continues to be the Eved Ne'emon until the very end. Tu vayivieho Yitzchak ha'oyhela sora imoy, as the Baal HaTurim brings down, that says oyhela 8 times in Tanakh, corresponding to the 8 places where the Shekhinah rested, including all the times that there was a Mishkan, until the Bayis HaShlishi, which is the eighth oyhel. Vayivieho Yitzchak ha'oyhela sora imoy, vayinochem Yitzchak achare imoy. Finally, Yitzchak is consoled. And that's a remez that Hashem will be consoled, the Klal Yisrael will be consoled with the coming of Mashiach and the Mapola of Yishmael. That we should talk and be zoicha to see with our eyes. V'sechazena einenu b'shuvacha letzion beracham in all the mekaymes hakadoshim, which, as the Medrash says, there are 3 places that cannot be contested by the nations of the world. And one of them is Chevron, because Chevron was bought by Avraham Avinu b'arba meyos shekel kesef. Shechem, meyos ksita, and Yerushalayim was bought by David HaMelech from Aravna HaYavusi. Yet it's interesting, these 3 places today, Dafka, 3 places where the Arabs claim. So it's Taka Kasha, but we have to accept it. We have to be quiet. Not that we shouldn't protest, that's something else. But we can't question Hashem. We can't lose our emunah, our faith, because Avraham didn't. And that was the last test. If one really thinks about it, this is the Akedah is not the last test. This is the last test. The last test is because after this, that's it. Avraham Zokein Baba Yomim, Vashem Berechas Avraham Bakoil, as Chazal say, he already sees Olam Chatira B'Chayechov, and he sends Eliezer for a Shidduch for Yitzchak. That's it. That's the end of the Shlich. The last Nesoyin of Avraham is right here, as Rashi himself tells us in Parshas Va'era. Therefore, it definitely corresponds to the last Nesoyin of our time, the Nesoyin of Eretz Yisrael, the Nesoyin of the Mekayim HaKadoshim. And just like Avraham passed the test, so will we. and will be zaychetaka to see the transformation of Mar Cheshvan, Yerach Bul, Mazel Akrav, Kiryas Arba, He Chevroin, becoming Chevroin, Malchus Beis David will be restored, Binyan Bayis Hashlishi, and Chanukas Habayis Hashlishi, and we should talk about Zeichot Al Panei Kol Echav Nofol, and eventually to the Bechina of Yoivel. Yoivel, like Bull, Beis Vav Lamed, has the same Shurish as Yoivel. Yoivel is the end of it all is Yoivel. The 50th year, Chamishim, the 50th year, that's when we all return, we come back. Vayihi Yuchai Yisora is Begematria Yoivel, He Tihi Elohem. Sarah lives a full life and she goes straight into Yovel, straight into the Pesach of Gan Eden. That's why Vayihi Yuchai Yisora is Begematria, Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan Be'eden Mikedem. Achimon, Sheishai, Talmai, Arba, those are the four giants, the four Koiches HaTuma, who are trying to prevent us from returning. Begematria, Tashuvu Ish El Achuzosoi. Because every Yid will return to his achuz, will be mevatel all the klipos, achimon, sheishai, talmai, and arba, and be zoicher to see the dalet zugos alive with the arrival of tchias hamezim, the Pesach of Gan Eden, Chevron, Yerushalayim, Malchus Beis David, v'hamelech David as the haftarah, with the final part of the haftarah over here, where Bathsheba cries out, and she says, Yechi Adoni hamelech David la'olam, that we should all be able to say, when Mashiach will come, David Malcolm Mashiach, we shall all be zeichet to that very, very soon, this month, Mi'atzah Hashem.